Hello and good morning. If I said hello and happy Christmas, what would you say? Okay, nice to have you here this morning. We're looking bright and shiny and bright and happy this morning. Those who are watching online this morning, happy Christmas to you who are watching, and I don't know where you are, and you might be even on the coast somewhere or back here here in Canberra, but we just want to say happy Christmas to you all this morning. It's a special day for us today as a church and as a family, and we know that it's great to be blessed by having Christmas together. So every year we have a Christmas offering time, and there's the box at the back. If you would like to, you're welcome to give an offering to that Christmas Day offering. It's going to a ministry that's in the Middle East, and that ministry is a prayer house and right on the cutting edge of doing ministry in their area. Can't explain exactly where they are and what they're up to, but you can ask me personally if you wanted to later. We can mention more about that. The beauty of it was last night they were here with us as part of church as well, so we could celebrate Christmas with their family too. So as we come together now in this time of being part of Christmas, it's I'd like to lead us in prayer, and then I'll get Andrew to lead us in a time of worship coming into Christmas. So let's pray together. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet this morning. Meet this morning to remember the beauty and the wonder of Christmas, the delight that you bring to us, the joy that you bring to us when it comes to this season, this day. Lord Jesus, you came to earth and you came to set us free. You came to give us a new hope and a new joy and a new desire and a new perspective of life and understanding. So Lord, this morning, with the busyness that we have, we just want to still our hearts just for a few moments to recognize the majesty and the wonder, the beauty of what you've done for each one of us. So set our hearts at rest in you, and may we know how wonderful Christmas truly is. So Lord, as we come now in a time of worship, may our hearts be focused more on you than the things around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ben. Good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
My name's Andrew. Are you guys excited for Christmas?
Woo-hoo.
Oh, you're about as excited as the crew last night was. I'm like, what's wrong with you people? It's Christmas. Tori, surely this morning you're excited because have you opened presents yet? Oh, that's a 50-50. Some of you have and some of you haven't. So if you haven't opened your presents yet, you should be super excited because you get to go home and do that after church, right? You know what? I like Christmas. I get excited at Christmas, and if you don't want to, well, that's up to you. But today we're here to celebrate the birth of Jesus, aren't we?
Yeah.
And we're going to do that together as a family. We've got some great carols we're going to sing together. We're going to hear a message about who Jesus is. And we're going to start this morning by reading some of the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. So if you want to follow along with me, that would be awesome. So in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Can you feel the excitement? Can you feel the excitement here of the shepherds just minding their own business? And suddenly the angels appear and say, "Great, guess what? Good news, great news for all mankind. Be excited. The Savior, the Messiah, has been born and you can go and see him." And friends, that's what we're celebrating today. The birth of Jesus, a reminder, a memory for us, reminding us of his birth. And it's a time for us to get excited again, isn't it? So I know you were a little bit not excited when we started. But I want to encourage you to please stand and please sing with us and be excited for the birth of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing all the plains and the mountains in reply, echo back their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Lord Jesus, let our amen be in a place of adoration to you. Let our amen be a place understanding that you have all authority, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that the amen is a time for us to say, thank you, Lord. Let it be your way. Now, as we go into what you have for us in this message this morning, Lord, I pray that our hearts are ready to receive what you have for us to hear, to understand, to know again how wonderful the story of Christmas truly is for us and this world. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Please take a seat. This year's theme for this Christmas is the promise. The promise, our Saviour has come. Who likes to receive a promise? Yes. Who's been promised something and it hasn't come? Who's had promises broken against them? Who's actually broken promises themselves to others? All the hands are like this. It's okay. Promise is your word. A promise is your word to fulfill what you said you would do. When we look at our Bible and we look at Old Testament, we find promises from God. We call them prophecies. God is promising something to take place. God is promising something's going to happen. Something amazing is going to take place. So we're going to look at just a couple of the prophecies leading into today and what God wants to show us with today's message. In Isaiah 7:14, we read these words, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." God will give a sign, a promise. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel." And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. God's promise is that there will be a son to be born, and that son will be God with us. In Isaiah 9:6, we read these words, "For unto us a child is born." What's the next line? "Unto us a son is given." For unto us a child is born. The beauty of Christmas. Unto us a child is born. A son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. The government will be on his shoulders. The governing of this world will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I want you just to sit in those titles just for a moment. Sit in them. Which one stands out greater for you? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Sometimes we hear people saying that, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. And yet Old Testament prophecy is saying here, well, he's a mighty God as a son who is born, an everlasting father, and he's a prince of peace. Which one stands out for you? And of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. So his government, his governing over the world will not decrease, it will increase, and with that will come peace. Very difficult for us to look at the world around us and say, there's peace. Let me say, it's not about peace in the world, it's peace in our own hearts. Jesus brings peace to our own hearts, and there'll be no end to that peace. And then upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even for ever. Again, are we reading this? God's promise is to send a son. This son will be governing the world. And not only, it's not just for a time. This is for a time times time. This is forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God will perform this. How is he going to do it? In his zeal, in his passion. God's passion is to give us his son. It's his joy, it's his delight, it's his zeal, it's his excitement. God's excited to give his son. How do we know this? Well, we read this through Jesus' own words in 3:16 of John. For God so loved, his passion, his desire, so loved that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. Amen. That the world may be saved through him. God's zeal, God's desire was to send his son. In his passion and his joy was to send his son, not to condemn us. Sometimes we feel like God is like this ogre or condemning or bringing things against us. That's not God's heart. God's heart is, I am sending my son because I love you, and my zeal and my joy is to save you. That should be exciting. Are you excited? Some of you are. Some of you are going, I don't understand what that fully means. That's okay. Let's work through a little bit more. I want to talk to you about a promise. A promise that I read in a book by Mr. Frank Borum. He wrote in his Christmas book in 1953, he wrote this story. It's called A Christmas Wooing. I want to introduce you to this young man named Tuatini. Tuatini was a Maori young warrior. But he was one that wanted a life of adventure. So Tuatini, as a young man, got alongside some of the whaling ships in New Zealand and found himself on one of the whaling ships because he wanted to see the world. And so he ended up in England with the white people, with the white men, and seeing so many different things. The adventures that he went on, the things that he saw was incredible. Things that he wanted to tell his community, his village, his people back in New Zealand. He wanted to tell them about the things that he'd seen. So he got homesick and he was to go back to get back to New Zealand. He'll have to go on to a boat back to Australia first. And so he got onto the convict ship called the William, bound for Sydney. And it just so happened that on this convict ship that was coming back to Sydney, Reverend Samuel Marsden was on this ship. And as Samuel Marsden was there and Tuatini were there, they met each other and got talking. And it's no short trip from England to Australia on one of these old ships. So they got to know each other very, very well. And Tuatini became Reverend Samuel Marsden's first convert on the trip to Australia. Reverend Marsden was to be the chaplain in Australia as the new settlement had begun. So when they arrived in Australia, Tuatini said to Samuel Marsden, "Please, please, now that I understand Jesus and I understand a saviour of the world, please, now that I understand it, can you come to New Zealand? Can you come to my people? Can you come and share Jesus?" And Reverend Samuel Marsden said, "Well, I promise that I will come when I get that available time." So Tuatini, he arrives back in his village, in his place, and he starts to tell his people, his community, he starts to tell about these amazing things that he's seen in this faraway country. He talks about food that they grow as crops and they can make the bread from it. He talks about these machines and things that he's seen. And so his people are looking at him going, are you sure? They start laughing at him about some of the things that he talks about. They think that his travel means he's lost the plot a bit. But he was smart, and so he took some corn with him and started to show them that you can grow gardens in plots. And he was growing corn. And they're laughing at him because they're just, what are you talking about? They don't understand. I don't know what you're doing. So all of a sudden, his corn grows and he gets the corn and he dries it. And he just so happened to have brought a coffee grinder with him as well to show them some of the mechanics of these things. So he ground the corn in the coffee grinder and he made bread. And these Maori tribesmen are looking and go, well, he must be telling something serious. But he kept talking about this Jesus or something, a saviour, and they're like, you're strange. Because he completely lost the plot at one time because he told them that there was an animal in this country that he's been. This animal is 1,000 times as big as a rat, and a man could sit on the back of this animal. And this animal you could harness ropes and you could carry big loads on this animal. Well, they thought he'd completely lost it then. So how could we believe anything he says? Because that's impossible to have an animal of that size. But he so longed to share Jesus with his people. But as he told these stories, they laughed and they laughed and they hit their foreheads and rolled. He's lost the plot completely. And in his longing, he would sit by the water, waiting, hoping for one day that Samuel Marsden would come. 10 years later, he had to wait. 10 years, giving up a bit of hope. And then all of a sudden, it was 1814, Christmas Eve, and Samuel Marsden arrived. And guess what? He brought his horse with him. And when the villagers saw this man sitting on the back of an animal 1,000 times bigger than a rat, sitting on the back, all of a sudden, Tuatini's credibility skyrocketed. He must be telling the truth. And so there was a wonderful moment where Samuel Marsden was able to speak to the people. It was a wonderful moment for him. And this is what Samuel says. He said, "I stood up," said Mr. Marsden, "and I began by singing the 100th psalm because they gave me the opportunity to speak to the whole community about who Jesus is. And just as I began to sing, my heart, my soul melted within me as I looked around at the people, most of whom were cannibals. It was Christmas Day. And on my text, in every way was appropriate to the situation. It was the message that the angels brought to the shepherds in Bethlehem. The message that I used the text was, 'Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. Today in New Zealand, at the Bay of Plenty, there's a monument of this day. Why do I bring this story to you this Christmas? I bring this story because this was a promise fulfilled. A promise fulfilled to bring the good news to a dark place. New Zealand was in a dark place at this time. There was anger, there was violence, there was cannibalism, and it needed a place for good news. The good news and the hope of Jesus. Some of you may question, was Christianity good to be brought to some of these tribes or villages or places like this? I want to reflect that some years back, Helen and I and some of the others, we went as a group to Vanuatu, to the island of Tanna. And in the island of Tanna, the island has about 35,000 people, so it's not a small island. Helen and I would spend time with some of the, like the village chief, or the island chief. And on the island, there was four chiefs that run the island. And one particular chief named Peter, he was the island spokesman. So when Peter spoke, the whole island would stop and listen. He had a lot of authority. And I remember one day saying to Peter, you know, there's many that would say bringing Christianity to the islands or Christianity to places like this has destroyed your culture. Some people would say it was wrong to have done that. And I said, Peter, tell me from your perspective, how do you see it? And Peter was a big, scary-looking guy who you wouldn't like to meet in a dark alley sort of thing. And he was a man of lots of wisdom. And he stood and he looked at me and he had tears starting to come down on his cheeks. And then he said, Ben, he said, before Christianity came to our country, we were scared. We were worried about our children. Our children would go out to pick fruits and vegetables. We didn't know if they'd come back again. We had areas on the island. We were cannibals and we lived in fear. Christianity for us gave us hope and security. Christianity made our island safe and gave us a hope. And I thanked him so much for that answer, because that's what Jesus is meant to do, is bring hope, security, and safety. The promise in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created through him, were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We can tell people the stories of Jesus, but when they're in a dark place, it's hard for them to understand and comprehend the light. In John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word who created the heavens and the earth came to us as flesh. The Word in glory, Jesus, God's own Son, left heaven in glory and came down to us in the flesh. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Reading John 1:43, it says, "The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. And he found Philip and he said, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote.'" So the prophecy, see, "We found him who they prophesied about. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see. Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi," meaning teacher, "you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." I have no idea what he was doing under the fig tree, but Jesus did. And because of that, he makes this declared statement, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and he said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." Well, Jesus says this, and he said to him, "Most assuredly," means truthfully, "I say to you, thereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is Jesus talking about being the stairway between heaven and earth, alluding to Jacob's ladder. Have you ever seen it? Understand it. The stairway between heaven and earth. Jesus is actually the stairway. Jesus is the one between heaven and earth. He's opened the doorway. He's opened the pathway. Amen? Is that exciting? He is the pathway. He's opened a way for the between heaven and earth, from the glory coming down as a child, opening the stairway. I know we read when Jesus said, "I am the light, I am the bread, I am the resurrection, I am the vine, the I ams." But in this statement, he is really saying, "I am the stairway, I am the ladder." And that's a beautiful picture. We need to understand that. These promises that we have are also promises for you and I. The promise of the Messiah coming, the promise of Jesus born here, the promises for you and I are beautiful. He promises peace. Peace doesn't mean there's peace in all the things that are happening around you, but there's peace in you because of who he is. When you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you now have peace. You also have comfort. He promises you comfort in all the turmoil and all the struggles. There's peace and there's comfort. He promises forgiveness. Where else will you get forgiveness? Who else can you go to for forgiveness? You can ask somebody else for forgiveness for something done wrong, but there's a place where your own heart is condemning you. Where do you go for that place of forgiveness? Jesus offers that to you as a promise. There is forgiveness and there's hope. Jesus promises hope. Jesus promises you a future. Jesus promises you a hope of something to look forward to. Jesus offers salvation, the promise of salvation. You are saved through him. Thank you, Andrew.
Anytime.
Thank you. We are saved through Jesus. And guess what? He promises to return. We should be excited about that too. If we have prophecies about him coming, if we have prophecies about him being born, and we have prophecies about him coming again, we should be excited about that. These are the promises for you and for me. The joy of the Lord is for him to return and come and take his bride with him. And then when he takes us, he promises what? He promises what? He promises what? That has got to be exciting. Because the older we get, the more we fall apart. And we need to know we've got to restart something beautiful, new bodies and a new life and a new future and a new hope. Amen. All through the birth of a baby, little baby given to us, born to us. A son is given from the glory of heaven to the simple life so that he and we can relate to each other. And when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When we live in a community in darkness, when we hear stories that we don't fully understand, light can come. For Tuatini and his community in the darkness, light came and changed them. In our own journeys, in the darkness of our own fears and our own anxieties and our own place where we don't understand a Savior, for us to understand the light of Jesus comes as a Savior. Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
So when you came in this morning, you would have had an opportunity to get a little magnet. And if you've come to our Easter or Christmas services before, you know that we love to give little tokens. But the tokens are to remind you of the message. And you might think, well, what's a magnet got to do with today's message? First clue is what it looks like. It's meant to look like glory, like it's beautiful. It's got shimmer and shine, and it's a reminder of heaven touching earth. And the next thing is about the magnet itself. The magnet was against a dark background. And Ben just spoke about before that Jesus comes as the light shining in the darkness. And this shines out against the darkness, against the backdrop of the darkness. But the other thing about the magnet is it sticks to things that are metal. And a good magnet sticks and is strong. And Ben just spoke about all the promises that we have through Jesus Christ. And he promises to be with us, Emmanuel, God with us. He promises to stick with us closer than anything else. And all those promises can be ours. And I don't know about you, but there is a world crying out for peace and hope and joy and forgiveness. And they don't even need to know anything about, or they don't yet know the truth about eternal life. But we have those promises. We have those promises. This verse. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If we want to know the truth of Jesus and if we want to have his promises, we actually need to have the right heart attitude. A magnet doesn't stick to fabric. It doesn't stick to paper. And if we want the promises of God, we need to have the right heart attitude. And if we want the light of God in our lives, we need to have the right heart attitude too. Just like a magnet needs the right metal, the right consistency to stick to. I don't know why you've come to church today. I hope it's to come to worship the risen Savior, the Savior who came, the Savior who died on the cross and lives again, and who lives now and is here for each of us. But if you've just come because this is something to do out of habit, then we want to encourage you to rethink that you can have the promises of God in your life and they can be so active if you will change your heart attitude. Jesus was born at a time under Roman rule and oppression. He was born in the darkness. He was born not wanted, pushed out and rejected by so many people, born in a manger. He was born to poor people. And all those things remind us that he wasn't born in a place of beauty and strength and resilience. And that's a reminder that we can have those promises in those places too. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you were born in a place that was dark and people rejected you. And yet the angels sang of your glory and shepherds came and worshipped you and wise men came from afar. You are the promise of light shining in the darkness. And you are still that light today. You are still that promise of peace and joy and strength. You are still that promise of hope and forgiveness. And we can still claim those promises if we'll have the right heart attitude. For Lord, your word says that nothing will separate us from the love of God when we choose to follow you. And so God, right now, we just want to come and thank you. We want to thank you. We want to thank you for the gift of your Son. Jesus, we want to thank you that you came to earth. We want to thank you for the gift of life that you have given us. And Holy Spirit, we ask and pray that you might work in our hearts in such a way that we might truly accept you and all that you have for us. Amen.
Thank you, Ben and Helen. So after hearing that message, are you more excited now than you were when you came in? Maybe. You guys are all just shy. I don't know. But those promises that we read about today, those promises that are given to us through Jesus, the Savior, born at Christmas, who we remember, they're for us today. So I want to invite you to stand, to come and see what God has done as we continue to sing together.
Child is born.
grace of the born to save, born to raise us from the grave. Christ the everlasting Lord, he shall reign
that because of Jesus coming and the promises that we've looked at today, we can have great joy. We can have great joy in our heart. And there's great joy for the world, as we read in our story this morning. For all the world, Jesus came. And we're going to finish today with that great carol, Joy to the World. So I encourage you, this is your chance, your last chance to sing out loud and strong and get excited. Back there, if you want to dance, that's great too.
No more let sin and sorrow grow, no thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse. The world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness. And wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Yes, we can say, we can celebrate to Jesus. We give celebrations to Jesus. And thanks, team, for leading us in that. Thank you for coming along and being part of our Christmas service today. Please don't try and run up the stairs to heaven. It's not actually real, all right? You'll hit your head on the top, all right? But just in case, if the kids and others want to come up and have a look, they're welcome to do that. Just not stand on the things. No touching, Helen says. But if you want to take a photo, you're welcome to do that. That's great. Today's a special day for Athalia. She's going to be baptized today, so I just wanted to share that. Something exciting. Christmas Day baptism. How cool is that? So that's a celebration for the family as well. So I just want to pray a blessing over you. And the kids are probably going, quick, can we go home now? Come on. It's time for gifts or presents because I haven't opened them yet, have they? No, we'll see. Yeah, quick, I want to go. All right. So let me pray a blessing over you. And I want to say thank you for coming and joining us this morning. Those online, I hope you're blessed this morning as well. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to us. Humble and lowly so that we can relate to you. You came because you loved us. Heavenly Father, your zeal, your passion was to send your Son. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here and coming and being our counselor, our comforter, and our guide. Let your wonder and your beauty be so strong for us this Christmas. And Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you yet as their Lord and Savior, if there's somebody here who hasn't recognized the beauty and the wonder of you coming to earth to bring hope and life and joy, salvation and a future and a hope, Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here that doesn't know you yet, that you're going to touch them now so that they're going to know that they're not alone, that in their cries of loneliness, even at this Christmas time, in their some of their pain and anxiety, some of their fear, some of their deeper longings of their heart. I pray, Lord, that you're going to meet them now in that deeper longing so that they know that you are their Lord, that you are their Savior, that you care for them so richly and so deeply. And may this Christmas be a special treat for them because they've finally met you and you have come alongside them. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let your face shine over us. Let your peace be with us and give us your strength in this day. In Jesus' name, amen.